in fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
Operation Brisket by Michael Connolly. Brisket on toasted poppy seed bagels. This is what we always ate. Thinking that returning to the routine would be the best way to return to the professional friendship, I brought a bag with two brisket sandwiches and two cans of soda from Jerry's Deli to Dean Seaver's office in the district attorney's office in the Santa Monica courthouse annex. Seaver was a lifer who had always called them like he saw them, regardless of the whims of politics and public morals. This explained why after 22 years in the DA's office, he was still filing misdemeanors off of cases spawned in the unincorporated areas of the West County. This is also why we were friends. Dean Seaver still called them like he saw them. His office had not changed a bit since I had seen him 2 years before. He had so many cases and so many files stacked on and in front of the desk that they created a solid wall from which he sat behind. I reached over the wall and put the bag down on the small workspace he kept clear. "The usual," I said. He didn't touch the bag. He leaned back and looked at it as if it was a suspicious package. "The usual," he said. "That implies repetition. That implies routine. Holler, where you been? I don't mean lately. I've been watching you this week on TV, but where you been for 2 years? I sat down on the chair on the other side of the wall of files. All I can tell you is I got messed up and I had to go on a hiatus. A long silence went by while Seaver waited for further explanation. None was forthcoming. "So that's it? No brisket for 2 years and you just say you were on hiatus? Holler, what happened to you?" The wall of files cut off his face. I could only see his eyes. "I'll tell you someday, Dean, when I know you better." I tried to smile, but I didn't think he could see it. But he nodded as if he accepted the proposition. He leaned forward and I heard him open the bag. Soon a wrapped sandwich was handed over the wall to me, then a napkin, then a can of caffeine-free Coke. "Caffeine-free?" he said. "That's not the usual, holler." "Yeah, I know, but I can't have the stuff anymore. It keeps me up all night." All I could see were his eyes, but they were suspicious eyes. He wasn't buying what I was selling. "When Lorna called, she said you wanted to talk about a case, so I pulled it out of the stack and took a look at it, but it's not your case. It's Jerry Vincent's case, except I read in the paper this morning that Jerry Vincent got popped in his office Monday night." I nodded. "Yeah, that's right. And his cases went to me. I have the court order here if you need to see it." Seaver's head dropped down out of sight when he leaned into the bite of his sandwich. "Not necessary," he said after taking some time to chew and swallow. "So now the case is yours, and you want to talk about a dispo before I even file it. Remember, Holler, I have 60 days to file it, and I haven't used half of them. But I'm always open to a dispo." "Actually, no, Dean, no disposition. I want to talk about making the case go away, completely, before it's filed." Seaver's head came up sharply and he looked at me. "This chick was caught completely naked on Broad Beach. She's an exhibitionist, Holler. It's a slam-bang conviction. Why would I make it go away? Oh, wait, don't tell me. I get it. This sandwich is really a bribe. You're working with the FBI now in the latest investigation into corruption in the justice system. I didn't know it was called Operation Brisket." I smiled, but also shook my head. "No, come on, open your shirt," Seaver said. "Let me see the wire." "Geez, would you settle down, Seaver? I think you need to back off the caffeine a few notches yourself. Did you read the deputy's arrest report and did you compare the information to the statute? His eyebrows came together in curiosity. Yeah, I read the arrest report after Lorna called. The statute is up here. He tapped a finger on his temple. And so what about them? He asked. Under the statute, the deputy must visually observe the trespass of the law in order to make an arrest for indecent exposure. I know that. He did. Says right in the report that she came out of the water completely naked. Completely, Mick. That means she didn't have any clothes on. I think it's safe to say that this academy-trained deputy had the skill to notice this distinction. And by the way, do you know how cold the Pacific is right now? Do you have any idea what that would do to a woman's nipples? Irrelevant, but I get the picture. But you missed the point. Read the report again. No, wait. I have it right here. Let me read it to you. I pulled the file from my case and read the arrest summary, which I had highlighted when I reviewed the case file. Suspect Linda Sandoval, 22 years of age, was in the water when responding deputy responded to call. Multiple witnesses pointed her out. Responding deputy told suspect to come out of the water and suspect refused several times. Responding deputy finally enlisted help of lifeguards Kennedy and Valdez, and suspect was physically removed from the ocean where she was then confirmed as completely naked. Suspect willingly dressed at this time and was arrested and transported. Suspect was verbally abusive toward responding deputy at the time of her arrest and during transportation. That was all I had highlighted, but it was enough. Look, I've got the same thing right here, Haller. It looks like slam-bang material to me. By the way, did you see that under occupation on the arrest sheet, she put down exotic dancer? She's a stripper, and she was out there getting rid of her tan lines, and she broke the law. Her occupation isn't germane to the filing, and you might want to look again at the report there, Einstein. The crime of indecent exposure was created by your own deputy sheriff. What are you talking about? Look, it doesn't matter if multiple witnesses pointed her out to him or that they saw her frolicking naked in the surf. Under the statute, the deputy can't make the arrest based on witness testimony. The arresting officer must observe the actual infraction to make the arrest. Pull down the book and check it out. I don't need the book. The deputy clearly met the threshold. He clearly didn't observe the infraction until he had those two brave lifeguards pull her out of the water. He clearly created the crime, and then he arrested her. What are you talking about here? An entrapment offense? Is this a joke? It's not entrapment, but it's not a valid arrest. The deputy created the crime, and that makes it an illegal arrest. He also humiliated her by having her dragged out of the water and put on public display. I think she's probably got cause for civil action against the county here. A negotiating ploy? He stopped mid-sentence as he realized I was right about the deputy creating the trespass upon the law. His head dropped down out of sight, but I don't think it was to take another bite of his sandwich. He was reading the arrest report for himself and seeing what I was explaining to him. I waited him out, and finally he spoke. Look, she's a stripper. What does she care? Maybe if you take the conviction and then ran an appeal, you'd get some media for both of you. Have her plead nolo, pending the appeal, and meantime I'll make sure she only gets a slap on the wrist. But no civil action, Haller. That's the deal. I shook my head, but he couldn't see it. Can't do it, Dino. She's a stripper, but she's also first-year law at USC. So she can't take the hit on her record and gamble on an appeal. In some states, she'd never be allowed to take the bar or even practice. In some states, she'd have to register as a sex offender because of this. Then what's she doing stripping? She should be clerking somewhere, working for a judge. Because USC is a goddamn expensive school and she's paying her own way. You'd have to see this to believe it, but she makes about 10 times more stripping than she would ever make clerking. Then she's going to make more money stripping than she would be practicing law. Look, you're stalling, Dean. What are you going to do here? You just want the whole thing to go away, huh? I nodded. It's a bad arrest, man. You refuse to file it and everybody wins. My client's record is clean and the integrity of the justice system is intact. Don't make me laugh. I can still go ahead with it and tie her up in appeals until she graduates. But you're a fair and decent guy, and you know it's a bad arrest. That's why I came to you. Where's she work? And what's her name? I mean, the name she dances under. One of the places up in the valley. Her professional name is Harmony. Oh, of course it is. Look, holler. Things have changed since you went on so-called hiatus. I'm restricted in what I can do here. Ah, bullshit. You're the supervisor. You can do what you want. You always have. Actually, no. It's all about the budget now. Under some formula some genius put together at county, our budget now rises and falls with the number of cases we prosecute. So that edict resulted in an internal edict from on high, which takes away my discretion. I cannot kick a case without approval from downtown, because a no-pros case doesn't get counted in the budget. This sort of logic and practice did not surprise me. Yet it surprised me to be confronted with it by Seaver. He had never been a company man. So you're saying you cannot drop this case without approval because it would cost your department money from the county? Exactly. And what that means is that the interest of justice takes a backseat to budgetary considerations. My client must be illegally charged first in order to satisfy some bureaucrat in the budget office before you are then allowed to step in and stop the charge. Meantime, she's got an arrest on her record that may prevent or impede her eventual practice of the law. No, I didn't say that. Well, I'm paraphrasing. I still didn't say that last part. Sounded like it to me. No, I told you what the procedure is now. Technically, I don't have pre-filing discretion in a case like this. Yes, I would have to file the case and then drop it. And yes, we both know that the charge, no matter what the outcome of the case, will still stay on a record. I realized he was trying to tell me something. But you have an alternate plan, I prompted. Of course I do, Holler. He stood up and moved what was left of his sandwich from the clear spot on his desk. Hold this, Holler. I stood up and he handed me a file with the name Linda Sandoval on the tab. He then stepped up onto his desk chair and used it as a ladder to then step up onto the clear spot of his desk. What are you doing up there, Seaver? Looking for a spot to tie the noose? That's not an alternative. He laughed but didn't answer. He reached up and used both hands to push one of the tiles in the drop ceiling up and over. He then reached a hand down to me and I gave him the file. He put it up into the space above the ceiling and then pulled the lightweight tile back into place. Seaver got down and slapped the dust off his hands. There, he said. What did you just do? The file was lost. The case won't be filed. Time will run out and then it will be too late for it to be filed. You come back in after the 60 days are up and get the arrest expunged. Harmony's record is clean. If something comes up or the deputy asks questions, I say I never saw the file, lost in transit from Malibu. I nodded. It could work. The rules had changed, but not Dean Seaver. I had to laugh. So that's what passes for discretion now? I call it Seaver's pretrial intervention. How many files have you got up there, man? A lot, actually. In fact, tell Harmony to put some clothes on, get down on her knees and pray to the stripper gods that the ceiling doesn't fall before her 60 days are up. Because when the sky falls in here, then Chicken Little here will have some explaining to do. I'll probably need a job when that happens. We both looked up at the ceiling with a sense of apprehension. I wondered how many files the ceiling could hold before Seaver's pretrial intervention program came crashing down. Tell you what, let's finish our sandwiches and not worry about it, Seaver finally said. Yeah, I agreed. Let's get back to the brisket.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums!
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIME. WAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email, and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by the Crime Wave. Get trusted.